Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, March 18th. Is it March 18th already? Oh, my heavens. No, it can't be, is it? It's sometime in June. It's June something or other. You know, during the lockdown, plumbers were, most of them kept working. They're essential, right? But human nature being what it is, many of us during this lockdown period tried to tackle some of those plumbing projects on our own. And speaking from experience, it didn't work out all that well. Well, if you've had some plumbing issues, some questions, if you will, you're in luck. Today we have a plumber on the show who will help you with your overhaul if you're trying to fix a leaky faucet. Maybe you're in over your head. Alan Ayers is here. He's the vice president of Chris Afully Brothers. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Plumbing, maintenance, and repairs today on the program. On the line to answer your questions is Alan Ayers, vice president of Chris Afully Brothers. For 80 years, Chris Afully Brothers has provided plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation service, and maintenance to the Capital Region. The New York State Certified Women's Business Enterprise has been voted the best of the region each year since 2007. As well as a top workplace in 2018. If you have a plumbing question today, give us a shout. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome back. How have you been?
Very good, Ray. Thanks for having me again, and it's nice to hear your voice again.
Everybody in your circle healthy?
Everybody's healthy, thank goodness.
That is good news. And, you know, as I said at the top of the show, plumbers are essential, and most of them did not take the pandemic lockdown off. But what I found, and in talking to some of my friends in the neighborhood, and they know from personal experience, you know, you don't want to, you're in lockdown, people are home, you don't want to call the plumber unless you have to. And we ended up, well, I tried some projects that didn't work out all that well and ended up calling a plumber anyway. What was the most common call that you guys had during this prolonged lockdown?
Oh, we had a lot of clogged drain calls. A lot of people spent a lot of time at home and getting a lot more use out of their restrooms and kitchens than they're used to.
And that's fairly straightforward fix, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, routine, you know, snaking or jetting, and, you know, the occasional camera, make sure there's nothing else going on.
Did you find, you know, talking to your service men and women who go out into the field, that people were freaked out when they had someone come in to work on their stuff?
No, we really didn't find that. You know, from the onset, we just kept following as closely as we possibly could, you know, everything that the government was putting out, best practices. And I think, and we communicated a lot with our customers before and after our service visit. And I think that really mitigated some of the anxiety. You know, there was some, but there was not a lot of people freaking out.
Well, that's good. Our number here, if you have a plumbing question for Alan Ayers, is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Connecticut and Salisbury, Connecticut. Maria, you're on.
Yeah, I'd like to know, is there any safe product I can use to get very heavy limescale up the very, very bottom of the bowl where the the water goes out?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
That's good.
You know, there's a product that does actually work, and I may quote it wrong, but I think it's like NLR or
CLR?
Something like that. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And that works great with, you know, minerals and lime. I've done it on shower heads years ago before.
Sit there for a while? Because I've been using one of those pumice scrubbers, but the lime up here is so heavy that it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, I think that chemical works pretty well.
Yeah,
I'm going back quite a few years.
CLR has been around a while. Yeah,
there you go, CLR. Yeah,
thank you very much, Maria. Okay. We appreciate the call. Alan Ayers is our guest, 800-348-2551 if you have a plumbing question. That's interesting, though. I note some toilets will have more lime staining than others, even in the same house. If it's not the water, what is it? Are the low-flow toilets the issue here?
I think it's really the product, how it's manufactured, and the glass and the ceramic spray that they put on each toilet. I find in my experience the same brand toilet you buy at a box store versus a plumbing supply house has a little bit thinner coating of glass lining on it, and it's a little bit, you know, so that you save a couple of dollars. Looks the same, you know, works the same mostly, but usually after a few years, it tends to show early signs of wear.
You know, you're not the first plumber I've talked to who said, yeah, there's a difference between those that you can find mass-produced and those that are in the plumbing supply houses. And now I never understood, because they all look the same, they work about the same, but what you just said makes some sense. So that's interesting.
Yep.
This is from Gina. This one came in via email. Gina writes, we got a way too expensive kitchen faucet with a pull-out hose. It's 2 years old now, leaks down the internal hose, and has ruined the under cabinet. Our plumber says these are nothing but trouble and says to not accept the offered replacement, but to switch altogether. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Gina, I would, you know, if it's a national brand name faucet, there's probably something wrong with it, and it needs to be, you know, should be repaired. You know, our gantry faucets and the fancy pullouts and everything are popular, and we haven't seen any real problems with the products we installed.
All right.
So, you know, maybe the plumber could she might want to try a different plumber.
Second opinion. I understand.
Second opinion.
Our guest is Alan Ayers from Chris Foley Brothers. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a plumbing question on Vox Pop today. And we'll take one more before our first break. Michael in Latham, you're on.
Yes, I have a question about hot water heaters. My plumber said not to drain it. The manual says to drain it at least once a year, twice if you have a water softener. What's the best advice on that?
Oh, definitely. You definitely want to drain it and flush it out once a year.
Yeah. This is the kind you use a screwdriver on. It doesn't have a valve, but you can use a long handle screwdriver. It's a State brand, A.O. Smith brand.
You know, you turn off the incoming water supply for a moment, drain it down, and then maybe turn the incoming water supply to the water heater on for 5 seconds, off, let it drain out. That's going to stir up any sediment in the bottom, and then hopefully
we don't have to replace. There's all kinds of gunk down there, minerals and stuff. And with the water softener, I thought it would make it last longer, but it seems like you got to drain it twice as much. Does that make any sense?
That's interesting. So you said the water softener you thought would make it last longer, but you have to drain it twice as much.
Well, in the booklet that came with it, it said if you have a softener, do it twice every 6 months, which seems kind of contradictory here.
What do you think, Al?
Non-intuitive is the word, yeah. That removes a lot of the minerals out of the water supply.
Right? I'm familiar with the brand, and I want to say if they put it in best practices or recommendations in their book, then that's something we should follow. They've probably experienced national failures, you know, prematurely or something during when people have a water softener.
Yeah.
I would always follow the manufacturer.
Manufacturer's recommendations. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Michael, thanks a lot. Alan Ayers is our guest. All right, one email here, and then we'll hit the first break. This is from Carolita in Kingston. What is this thing in my bathroom floor near the sink and shower? Do I need to use it for anything? In case you can't see the image, it's a metal circle about the size of a small tortilla with a sort of hexagonal knob in the middle. And there's a picture here, and, by golly, there is a hexagonal knob in the middle. What is it?
Let's hope she never has to use it.
What is that?
That is either, because I can't see the picture, I'm going to guess that is either a drum trap, which is an old P-trap type device, and the hexagonal nut she sees is the clean-out access, so you can get in and clean out hair or gunk or whatever in the trap.
Even though it's in the middle of the floor of the bathroom?
Correct. And my guess is it's probably an older house, pre-1960s, maybe 1940s or 50s, and that's how they used to do it in the 50s.
All right. Well, you know, I think you did very well. What she describes, and in fact, she did attach a picture, and I think you nailed it. All right, let's take a break here. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number, and we will be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Plumbing today on the program. Alan Ayers comes back and joins us via the telephone from Chris of Fully Brothers. All right, and here's another email. This one also seems like it might be a difficult one, but here we go. This is from Jennifer. Jennifer writes, I want to run water to my barn, which is not heated in the winter. Is there a way to run water from the house to a barn? How expensive would this be? It's probably 400 feet away. I have a well, not municipal. Would I need electricity to the barn because it is well water, or would I need to have a new well dug? And that is from Jennifer.
Oh, great question, Jennifer. Yeah. I'm contemplating the same thing myself right now. Oh. So the answer is you would have to run a water line from the home, hopefully either the basement or crawl space of the home, to the barn underground at a minimum of 42 to 48 inches deep to stay away from the frost line, mm-hmm. which is a little expensive. 400 feet digging that trench, unless you know somebody, a neighbor or something like that, with a tractor or a backhoe that could dig it for you. And then you can put in like a frost-free hose bib type thing, a yard hydrant we call it. You can install that where the shutoff is down that 48 inches below grade so that when you shut the water off, it's out of the freeze line. You don't have to run any electricity back there or worry about it freezing because it's on, you know, the same depth as your water mains, you okay. know, throughout the city or whatever.
All right. You're considering doing that as well, huh?
I am actually. I'm thinking about putting a barn up and doing the same thing.
Very cool. All right, let's go back to the phones here at 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers of Chris and Foley Brothers is our guest. Plumbing today on Vox Pop. Jeff is in Voorheesville. Jeff.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, Alan, thank you so much. And Ray, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I've got several failures. My plumber thinks it's rubber seals in my sinks because I have too much hot water. The water's too hot. And I'm trying to figure out whether he recommended maybe I put in a power vent propane heater that can be thermostatically controlled for heat.
Okay.
I've got like three or four spigots, including the bathtub, the upstairs bathroom, the downstairs bath, and the kitchen. And I've had to replace faucets because of the, he thinks the degradation of the seals because of my too hot water.
How are you heating your water currently, Jeff?
Well, I've got an oil boiler, and uh-huh. I've got a loop, a circuit out to that, and, you know, it calls for hot water when the water temperature gets down.
Okay.
And he says your water is about 190 degrees. It shouldn't be that hot.
Oh, my goodness, no. Hmm. Yeah, that's awfully hot water. That's dangerous to any visitors at your home too, especially if they turn on the hot water only. That's pretty dangerous. But the indirect water heaters definitely have a thermostat on themselves, and you should be able to turn that down. Maybe it's something that your plumber that you've been talking with isn't exactly familiar with. But you know, there's a lot of reputable plumbers out Voorheesville way that you could call and have them take a look at it. If there's a problem with your boiler water and your water heater commingling, like the hot water is getting mixed in with the domestic hot water, that's probably something you're going to want to look at sooner than you look at faucets. Hmm. You know, I would really think
angle.
That if you're...
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I think I've got a triangle indirect water heater, which is
okay,
directly
so
plumbed to my boiler.
Interesting.
It'd be a water mixing valve. Now, could mm-hmm. I solve this with the water mixing valve?
You could, but you might be solving a problem. You may be, you know, trying to kill a mosquito with a sledgehammer. I think if you're running 190 degree water to your taps, then there's a problem that really should be addressed.
Okay.
But that there's something that's technical that's wrong that maybe your plumber's overlooking a little bit.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Alan Ayers is our guest. 1-800-348-2551, the number here on Vox Pop. And Joe in Saratoga is next. Joe.
Hey, Alan. Hi. Thank you for this call. My question is, I put in a new bathroom in the house with a really nice shower. And the disappointment is I just don't get the water pressure that I would really like to have in the shower. And I'm wondering if there's any, if it's the nature of the beast, perhaps the diameter of the piping that comes into the bathroom, or if I could, maybe increase the pressure on the water tank. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Joe, what part of Saratoga do you live in?
Well, actually, I'm in Saratoga right now, but I live in Galway.
Okay. And are you on a well or a city water out there?
Well.
Okay.
Well.
And your pressure is typically fine everywhere else in your kitchen faucet and so on?
Well, it's not great. You know, it's not great, but it's okay, you know. I mean, it's it would be nice to – we can live with the pressure in the kitchen, but it's –
okay.
Of course, the shower, we'd really like to have a little more pizzazz.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So a quick way to, and hopefully there's nobody from code enforcement in Galway listening to me.
a quick
way to get a little more pizzazz in your shower. If you remove the shower head from the shower arm and look at that connection, there's a washer. It's a flow restrictor to make sure we're only getting 1.5 gallons per minute or 1.8 gallons a minute through the shower head. And it probably has like an eighth inch hole in it. If you were to increase that to a slightly, very slightly larger hole, that'll give you a little more pizzazz. If you take it right out, it's going to be obnoxiously too much. But a little bit more. And if you had a builder or a plumber or a handyman that could do that for you, that's probably your best bet.
The thing is, I've already done that. I'm thinking that would,
oh, good,
would solve the problem. It doesn't.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't help.
You may want to call your well man and ask him to maybe increase the pressure then at the well pump itself.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll give that a try.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Our guest today is Alan Ayers, Vice President of Chris of Foley Brothers. It's plumbing today on the show, and Linda is in the Berkshires. Linda.
Hi. I have probably the easiest question of the day.
I love it.
But I was wondering if you could help. I was wondering if you could seriously increase the water that comes into my toilet. I've asked my maintenance people, but they're on, of course, only emergency problems. And I want to do it myself. So if you could just tell me how I go to the back of my toilet and I do whatever I need to do to bring in more water into my toilet.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, there's a little valve, right?
There is. So first thing I would check is there's probably a chrome pipe and valve coming out of the wall or the floor. I would make sure that valve is all the way open. Sometimes you'd be amazed.
Okay.
It'll be closed for one reason or another, partly. And then I would follow that from the point that it exits the wall or the floor. I would follow it with your hand up to the connection point of the bottom of the toilet tank. And make sure that there isn't – sometimes plumbers use those flexible stainless steel braided hoses, and they kink.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So make sure there's no kinks.
Okay.
Put it underneath and something like that. Okay. And if there's no kinks, then you could pull the lid off. And do you know how old your toilet is?
It's less than a year.
No, it's a low flow.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah.
So if you pull the tank off, look to the left-hand side, you're going to see something that looks like a black, red, half a coffee can-sized thing that slides up and down. There's probably an adjustment screw that's a long plastic rod. I would turn that counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise.
And
counterclockwise.
It should lift that ball up higher. But be mindful if you let the water level get over that little center tube. it'll be a running toilet.
It'll run all the time.
You'll be on a plumber for that. Yeah, it'll run all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So
right,
if you adjust with that and take a moment each time you turn it, maybe a full revolution, take a moment and like tap that ball down a touch just to activate the fill valve.
Yeah.
And wait and see what happens for 30 seconds, a minute. And then you're going to go through a series of adjustments. And that's what we do too. We try to get it to be within a quarter inch of the top of that center white tube.
Do you think you can do it, Linda?
No, but yeah. How's that?
I'll tell you what. You know what?
I will try.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
If you succeed, call back the next time Alan is on and we'll find out how you did, all right?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers of Chris Foley Brothers with us today. And Jen in Latham. Jen, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. I have kind of a similar question to somebody before related to water pressure. I live in Latham. I have terrible water pressure in my house. So, for example, if I'm up in the bathroom upstairs and turn on the faucet and then turn on the shower, the shower's got really bad pressure. So just wondering if there's anything that I can do for that.
Very much like the toilet call just a moment ago, I would start at the main water valve coming in into the home.
It should be all the way open?
Make sure that's all the way open. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you open one of those all the way, Alan, I mean, will that thing pop out? That's my fear with our main water valve. You know, I could keep turning it to the right and opening and opening and open it. Will that thing pop off at some point?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, you know, with a reasonable level of force.
All right.
Well, Ray, you might be able to twist that thing right
no,
off.
No, 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 I don't mean that. But, I mean, it seems like it will never stop if I keep turning the thing. And I'm afraid
No, it does. It should stop. And usually what I suggest is turn it until it stops, until it's all the way open, and then close it a quarter or a half a turn so that it's not, you know, seated so firmly against the top of the valve.
Okay. Very good. Jen, what do you think?
I would try that for sure.
All right. We'll try it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Good luck, Jen.
800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and it's Vox Pop. We talk plumbing every so often on the program. Today we do that, and let's go to Carol in East Fishkill. Carol.
Yes, hi. Hi, Ray. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I would say about 25-year-old toilet. That's a Kohler, and it has a tank in the back, five flushes I could have gotten out of that. But the handle started to get loose, so I called the plumber. He replaced not only the handle, but the whole guts inside, and now one flush will empty out the whole thing. He bent one rod down a little bit, so it only flushes maybe four flushes at once. Is there any way I could get that back to what it used to be? I feel like I'm wasting water like crazy.
Yeah, if you wish, it's really simple. Just take a little bit of bend out.
Okay.
Excuse me?
That's right. We're having a little trouble with Alan's signal. Oh. I don't know if you're on a cell phone, Alan, there, just stand on a phone book or something.
I would take a little bit of the bend out of that rod that he bent, if you can do that, or maybe a handyman can do that for you. And it should raise the level of the water inside your tank.
Well, what he did, he bent it so that it would not flush five flushes. It would only flush maybe three and a half, four flushes, you know, all at once, at one time. Because it was emptying the whole tank with one flush.
Oh, boy.
And I complained, you know. I just didn't like it, you know. I bought it for the reason that it can do such a good job.
Uh-huh. Right. I would either maybe have him come back and make a...
Go ahead, Alan.
Sure there is. Yeah, I would definitely take an opportunity to give that same gentleman a call, have him just make another adjustment. I'm sure he could do it on his way home from work one day or on his way to another job, and shouldn't cost you much at all for an adjustment.
All right. Well, Carol, thank you very much for the call. And now over to, Steve. Steve in Albany, you're on.
Hello there. I just bought a 1920 house in Albany.
Nice.
And the radiators are actually built in the walls. You don't see them. And the vent which releases the heat is about 2 feet down from the ceiling. Kind of absurd because heat rises, but it is what it is. And it makes it difficult to hang paintings. I'm wondering, especially in the living room, I've got several of these vents. Is it possible just to turn off one of those and close it over so it can hang a painting over it?
It's definitely possible, but whatever you do is going to affect your comfort. And
sure,
you know,
I realize that it would throw off the heat in the room as far as the balance goes.
Right, but you can absolutely do it without any danger.
No danger. Okay, well, that's good.
No danger at all.
No danger, so I could actually do that. That's great.
You could.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Right. And, okay, how about at least one more here before the next break? We'll go over to Western Massachusetts. Robert, you're on.
Yes. First of all, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
And I have a question about the liner on my chimney. The house is about 70 years old, and I recently called a new plumber to do something minor. And he says, you have a clay liner on the chimney. And 5 years ago, I went from oil to gas heat and hot water. And he said the changeover erodes the integrity of the clay liner on the chimney, and you should consider putting in a metal liner. Can you comment on that suggestion, please?
I would absolutely agree with him 100%.
Is that right?
Oh, for sure. I would make sure that you did that in the next year or two then.
Okay.
I wouldn't go much longer than you know, a year and a half or you know, this time next year before doing it, especially during the heating season. It will start to corrode all of the joints between the two clay tiles and the clay tiles themselves. And what'll happen is you have the potential of carbon monoxide entering into the home. It's a slim potential, not like, you know, you have to do something tomorrow. But it's definitely a proven fact that it will eat away the clay tile. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
So this was a very accurate suggestion.
Oh,
yes.
Very accurate. Well,
okay.
Absolutely.
I've been waiting for months to ask you this question. Thank you very much.
Robert, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Alan Ayers is our guest. One more before the break. 800-348-2551. And let's go to Sarah in Gansevoort. Sarah, you're on.
Hi there. I've noticed. Actually, can you hear me? I'm driving.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I've noticed since I've been watering with my sprinkler more recently that every time I turn it on, my propane water heater turns on. And I'm wondering if there's some way they're mixing the cold water for the faucet enters before the water filtration system, and then the hot water comes from after the filtration system. So I'm really stumped.
Okay, that makes two of us.
Have I stumped you?
Okay.
You know, there may be something going on where when you relieve some pressure from the system, meaning the whole water system in your home, that it kind of jiggles, if you will, the hot water heater tempering valve to sense a temperature change overnight. Because if it's heated when you go to bed at night, that the water heater will lose a certain amount of the hot water overnight and or during the course of the day if you're at work.
Yeah.
And maybe that fluctuation in pressure kind of wakes things up a little bit and it fires up. How long does it run typically?
Okay.
How long?
Yeah. You know, it seems like it's running almost the whole time that the sprinkler's running. So if I'm doing the garden and I've got the sprinkler on for a half hour, 40 minutes, I start to notice it pretty shortly, and then it stays on. And so then I weigh with my, do I want to have the water heater running, or do I want to water my garden? Which do I prefer?
water the garden. But have you ever felt the water coming out of the garden hose? Is it warm?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, it's cold. It's definitely,
okay.
It's the way it should be. It's cold water.
Okay.
Mystery. And we have very sulfury water, so I can tell by the smell of it that it's coming the hose. I can tell by the smell that's the unfiltered water.
Mm.
So, yeah, big mystery.
It is interesting. Well,
that is super interesting.
Yeah, and if you find out anything before the next time that Alan is on, please let us know. It's a cliffhanger, Sarah.
Sure.
It is, for sure.
It's like stump the chumps. It's like car talk.
And chumps we are. Well done. Well, thank you for that. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is not a chump. I want to be clear about that. He's vice president of Crystal Fully Brothers. I'm the chump. I'm the host. I'll be back. Ha ha ha! It's Vox Pop. It's WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Plumbing today on the program. Alan Ayers from Crisafulli Brothers is here. Looks like two or three, maybe four emails here, Alan, and then we'll hit the phones. And this one's from Wayne in Stone Ridge. Wayne says, my parents have a well. Whenever the well pump turns on or off, there's a loud banging throughout the pipes in the house. Not sure if it happens when the pipe turns on or off, but it happens every time.
That's pretty simple. That is the check valve, and it's one of the check valves. It's most likely the check valve right at the
tank. Oh, boy. We didn't catch this. I'm sorry. I think you said check valve, but not sure. We kind of lost your signal.
I do apologize.
That's okay.
Working
try it again.
Home has its difficulties.
I hear you, man.
It's probably the check valve that's near the tank in the basement or wherever the water enters the home. There's a check valve to make sure that all your water doesn't drain out of your house and go back down into the well.
Mm.
And usually if it starts to show a little bit of signs of wear and it's a swing type check valve, it will swing open. It's a brass 1-inch round, kind of a heavy brass flapper, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The water goes in the home, the flap opens, and when it shuts and the water stops, that flap closes. Sometimes it closes with a little bit of a jar.
Okay. All right. So this is
replace the check valve would be my suggestion.
All right. This is from Bill in Shelburne Falls. Bill writes, my barber was asking me about a slow draining sink out on a long drain leg in a trailer. I've heard of a vent trap for such situations. Would you explain this? And that's from Bill in Shelburne Falls.
If the long run is not vented, it definitely will drain slow, super slow, very much like tipping a 2-liter bottle upside down and just letting it go. If you poke a hole in the bottom of that 2-liter bottle, the water will flow out very quickly.
Mm.
They make a brand name of it is Studer Vent. Installing this vent allows air in the system, but not air or gases out of the system.
Gotcha.
So installing this Studer vent underneath the kitchen sink or the sink, faucet sink or whatever kind of sink it is, should let the air go in and hopefully make that drain a lot quicker.
All right, fair enough. This one is from David in Enfield, Connecticut. Water hammer. I have arresters at the washing machine, but still get very bad water hammer. Also, sometimes at a sink on the top floor of a Cape-style house when that faucet is turned off and on. Similar problem to the earlier email?
No, actually. Different
okay.
problem. Unless he's on a well. If he's on a well, then yes, similar problem, probably a check valve. Water hammer can happen. Just in a lot of old piping systems, there's a lot of elbows that are getting choked down due to like galvanized piping corroding and inside the pipe corroding.
Yeah.
And we install air arresters at the washing machine is the ideal place we usually install them. But I would install them as well up in the lavatory on that top floor.
And what does the arrester actually accomplish?
The arrester has a built-in air chamber. So when there's a pressure fluctuation, rather than the pipes banging around, the air inside these chambers absorbs that pressure fluctuation.
Oh, like a silencer.
And sometimes, pretty much, exactly. And sometimes installing one or two is just not enough. You have to install three or four.
Interesting. All right, two more emails here. This one's from Betsy. Betsy says, I'm reading about these bidet attachments you can install under your toilet seat. How easy are they to install, and do they really work? Bidets are common in France and seem to be becoming more available here in this form. What do you know there, Alan Ayers?
Honestly, they're making great advances in these add-on bidets.
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, two or three national popular names, Kohler, American Standard, they are making some great seat accessories. There's lights and bidets and some other things that self-flushing and sensor flushing. They're not super difficult, because unless you're working on plumbing all the time,
yeah,
just take your time, read the instructions two or three times before you tackle it. But I think most handy homeowners can install that.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. This last email is from Kim. Kim says, hey, this is about the careful choosing to hang a painting over a closed heat vent. She writes, if you close the heat vent and it remains hot to the touch, it may damage the painting you hang above it, or worse, our basement heat vents can be closed, but you could still feel some heat as it's flowing underneath the surface of that vent. I think this
is a different
type of heat.
Yeah,
though.
No, a different type of heat. I would agree if the original caller had forced hot air heat.
Right.
But he has convection heat.
Exactly.
And convection heat is where the natural convection of just warm air rising.
Yep.
Once you eliminate the ability for the warm air to rise, it will not rise.
Roger
that. I think it's all good.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Ryan in Newburg. Hello, Ryan.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had two quick questions. One, I'm thinking about renovating my bathroom. I'm semi-handy, and I heard estimates that it's about, I would say, $3,000 per appliance or per hole. I just wanted to understand if that was fair. And also, what would be the biggest cost or the biggest expense in doing this? Thank you.
You're welcome. $3,000 sounds a little bit shy for Newburgh area. You may be looking at a little bit more than $3,000, a fixture or a hole. And the biggest expense, honestly, is the skilled labor.
Yeah.
You know, labor is pretty expensive, and finding skilled craftsmen is, you know, a national problem. I think other than that, faucets. So if you want to save a little bit of money, I would maybe get a good national brand name faucet, maybe not the fancy one you want, but hire, you know, a craftsman.
Okay.
Otherwise, you might spend, you know, a decade or two of frustration by saving $1,500.
What is it about plumbing that I find so frustrating? It doesn't, you know, it's not like building an aircraft from scratch, and yet I can't figure out anything. But the
it's not super intuitive for many people, to be honest with you. It just doesn't follow sometimes the logic. There's a lot of science behind plumbing that, unless you've gone to schooling or through an apprenticeship program,
right,
you know, not understanding the science is everybody's hurdle, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily usually if there's anything besides the most minor thing, I'm like, all right, we're calling a professional. I can't deal with this. All right, let's go to Sarah in Kingston. You're on with Alan Ayers.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. So we have a home that was built in 1936 here in Kingston, and everything works fine in the bathroom, which is up on the second floor. The bathroom, the tub area was never renovated. And, you know, it has the original subway tiles, and we had like a rebath done for the bathtub itself. And the only problem is that the water comes out kind of rusty.
Yeah.
If you want to take a bath. It doesn't seem to be a problem in the shower or in the sink.
Hmm.
Is there any way to fix that shy of, you know, taking apart the whole, having the whole thing taken out? And there is an access to the plumbing from the closet, from the guest room closet, which backs up to the plumbing.
My guess is the second floor piping is accessible through a first floor closet. When they added plumbing in the 40s and 50s to those houses, they you know, took the easy road, and a plumber may be able to replace the piping with a lot less effort than you believe. And that would be my guess, to replace that piping for sure with either copper or PEX tubing or something like that.
Uh-huh. So, but it would mean opening up ceilings or walls or something.
It might mean opening up a wall or ceiling, but we do that routinely, and it's really not that painful. It really isn't. There's a guy down there. I don't know if I can say his name, but there's a good plumber down there.
Go ahead.
You could call.
Yeah.
Tom Weber, T. Weber Plumbing.
All right, there you go.
He's a great plumber down that way. If you were to give him a call, I'm sure he'll give you a free estimate. Take a look at it for you.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for that. 800-348-2551. Over to Judy in Lakeville, Connecticut. Judy, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
We put in a new septic system in October. It was a very low system that we had. We bought the house in 84. And now that the weather's really nice and we're outside on our deck, depending on humidity or rain or wind, mm-hmm. we start to smell sort of a sewer smell. And, I mean, this is a really large system that we have now, new leaching fields. And so we talked to the builder, and the builder said that the pipes that are on the roof are too low from the bathrooms. And they need to be over the ridge of the roof. So, like, we've never had a problem before. So I'm just wondering, does that seem reasonable to you?
Is the deck new, or is there anything? Have you changed your outdoor living at all?
No. Nope. The deck has been here for years. And, we just got this new system. That's the only new thing.
Right,
we did
change.
A lot of remodeling. We did a new bathroom, and we remodeled the kitchen and all that. But I think it's a septic issue, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We just remodeled our kitchen on the first floor. We put in a new half bath, and we did a new laundry room, which is near the deck. And so there was more pipe added for the dishwasher, or not the dishwasher,
right.
but the washer and the
machine.
Fixtures in the half bath. So, I mean, what do you think?
So the smell shouldn't be coming from the roof vents if they didn't before.
Oh.
No matter what
you
add.
We never had a problem.
It shouldn't be.
Okay.
So if you didn't smell it before, it's chances are it's something new introduced into your environment. And you may just want to ask your builder one more time, hey, humor me, can you have the actual plumber come out and take a look?
The plumber come out, and should we have the engineer come back who actually, planned the
whole
new
septic
system?
Or the septic system? No, yeah. I don't think you need an engineer.
Yeah.
I really think the plumber should be able to bird dog this. And if you find, if you happen to...
Today it's perfectly fabulous out there. But every now and then, we can't figure it out. Is it wind? Is it humidity?
Yeah.
What is it? But it's really not pleasant.
Yeah, it's so we've had elusive smells before. And it's been, our practice to just stick with it and give the customer like a hotline. So I would call the plumber and try to build a rapport with him and see if he'll come out, like, when it's smelling on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday morning or Tuesday night or whatever it might be. He'll probably, most people are really helpful when you ask them for help.
Our plumber's terrific.
So he'll probably come
absolutely,
out.
He's a great guy. He's an absolutely great,
great guy.
Okay.
Yeah, if you ask him, he'll come back out.
Yeah, we're really happy. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck,
you're
Judy.
Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Alan Ayers is with us. David in South Egremont. David, you're on.
Hi. You hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Several months ago, back during the snow melt and heavy rains that we had back in early spring, our well was contaminated with total coliform and E. coli. And the well people came out, looked at it, and they said, hey, it's an old well. It's only sleeved down to about 15 feet. You're probably getting stuff coming in through the porous rock. And they sleeved it down to 50 feet. And since then, it has tested clean every time. We've tested it several times, and we're happy with that. However, since that time, we've had a problem with air in our plumbing, in our lines in the house, primarily only in the upstairs bathroom, but occasionally elsewhere as well. So we had them come back. They pressure tested everything back to the well. Everything tests good. There's no air getting in. We checked the equalization tank. The membrane in that is good. No problem with that. Mystery. We could not figure out. We checked everything. Had plumbers come out and look at it. Couldn't find anything. So finally, out of desperation, the plumber said, try turning off your water softener for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me, but we did it. And it seemed like it solved the problem, so we weren't getting any air in there. Turned the softener back on. It's been back on for a couple of weeks, no air.
Huh.
So that seemed to have been somehow or other the source. Why it hasn't started again, I don't know. But in the meantime, since we did all that, we're now occasionally getting a sulfur smell in the kitchen sink with the hot water.
Okay.
Now we got a new mystery.
Hmm.
Well, this one just might be coincidental.
Really? Coincidence, huh?
Yeah. Coincidentally, the water heater in the water heater, there is a sacrificial anode rod, and it's a rod. Looks like an electric. You got a new one. How recently did you get the new one?
Back during the winter. It's a new. I think it's aluminum. It's a real long. The old one was corroded. Okay. This is a new one.
Okay.
All right. So it is probably that same anode rod or that you got replaced recently. It's deteriorating and giving off a sulfur smell.
Again.
That's and I would go with the titanium one. They make them, and they're not much more expensive.
Oh.
And then that way, it'll still attract all the minerals and metals, but it won't rot, nearly as quickly. You'll still get, 7, 8, 9, 10 years out of it before it.
All right, David,
become ineffective.
Thanks a lot. Now we have time for one more here. Nancy in Northampton. Nancy, you'll be last. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just recently installed a faucet in my motorhome, which has PEX plumbing, and everything hooked up properly, and it was running fine for about a few hours. And now all of a sudden the hot water line is not letting any water through. So I'm not sure if something was loosened during the time that I was connecting and disconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just a faulty, I did get it on Amazon. I'm sorry I didn't get a brand name.
Okay, all right.
I think that could be,
We only have about 30 seconds
maybe
here.
I should just, okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. Any ideas what that might be?
I would just follow the piping, make sure you don't have any kinks or valve shut off. And then I would talk about returning the faucet and maybe going to a plumbing supply house.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's kinks in the thing. I think I have to return the faucet. But thank you.
Unfortunately. You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot. All right. Alan Ayers, how do people find Chris Afully Brothers on the internet?
They go to chrisbro.com, CRISBRO.com.
Well, listen, we are out of time here, so thank you very much for being here. Hopefully next time we do a plumbing show, you'll be in the studio. As of now, we are still doing all our guests over the phones. It's got to end sometime, right?
Got to end sometime, and I look forward to the day I'm back in the studio with you, Ray.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for being here. Support comes from Whitney's Farm Market on Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts, open with curbside service for Farm Market and Garden Center. Call-in orders for deli and family meal specials posted on Facebook, whitneysfarmmarket.com. And Adirondack Oral Surgery, serving the Capital Region and beyond, accepting most commercial and managed care insurance plans, offering a range of oral and maxillofacial surgery, AdirondackOralSurgery.com. Well, once again, thanks to Alan Ayers of Chris Afully Brothers for joining us today. Many apologies for all of those left on the line today. That's all we got time for right now. We will have Alan back. We'll do more plumbing shows in the future. But thanks again for everyone who made it through and the great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Jackie Orchard, our producer. Your calls are answered by Charlene Knight. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, tomorrow on Food Friday, it's soul food. It's Ali B. That's 2 p.m. We'll see you then. Right now, stand by for the Capital Connection.